This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Played for more than a decade in the NFL. Then he went on to be an analyst. Actually, he has done stints on the Home Shopping Network. I did not know that. He's got some explaining to do. Anthony Beck, good morning. Did you sell some cubic zirconium, or what was going on with that?
Hey, good morning. Yeah. Well, first, I got to correct you. Our team's locations have not been put out there yet, so that is still pending. So there is no affiliation with me with any team or any location yet. I'm just one of the new XFL head coaches. Yeah, I did. You know, when I was when I left the league, obviously was in, you know, calling games with ESPN, working with the Jets, the Bucks, and I had an opportunity to be part of the all the NFL-licensed products that were being sold on the Home Shopping Network, which is housed down here in the Clearwater, Tampa Bay area. And, yeah, you know, anything that the NFL put their name on that these companies had, you know, was, you know, clothing. Carl Banks, former Giants outside linebacker, he has a clothing company. A ton of his product was on there. I did a lot of his stuff, and you know, throws some of those different, you know, kind of quirky gifts that, you know, all these companies pay a bunch of money to put the NFL team names on. Yeah, I was the guy to go to. So you know, when you speak it and you know the game a little bit, I ended up being a pretty good host for those guys. So it worked out well.
Yeah, what was your biggest takeaway from being on the Home Shopping Network? I don't mean to get us off topic, but I'm fascinated that a guy like you would be on that platform and be pretty darn good at it.
Well, you know, a couple things. Number one, I'm from Philly, so I got a little hustle in me, so that was something that was appealing to them on the show. Also, you know, it actually prepared me very well for doing calling games, working in the studio with ESPN and some of the other networks that I've worked with, because – you know, people don't understand, you know, when you're doing a Home Shopping Network, it would be an hour show, no commercials, no stopping, and you'd go straight through. You'd have five or six cameras. You'd have moving monitors in front of you. You'd have teleprompters. I mean, when you're sitting in a studio or you're doing a game, there's one camera, and it's maybe two if you have to look at different ways. So, you know, doing those kind of things and speaking and engaging to the audience, it became very easy for me. It was great practice. So that was something that, honestly, I kind of looked at it as when I got into it. I was like, this would be great, you know, first getting into calling games. This would be good, work in the studio and stuff like that, just more practice. And it ultimately kind of turned into I was doing a couple shows during the football season to, heck, I was doing 70, 75 shows during a football season for HSN over a 7-8 year process.
Just one more question about this. What was day one like? Did you have any panic attack?
I did. No, it was tough. Now, yeah, I'm, you know, we have producers in our ear just like any other, you know, media. And but you know, when you're talking about five angles, five different cameras, looking in different spots, we had a rolling sailboard that showed us numbers up to the second. You know, quantity sold, pricing, and stuff like that. So all that stuff was kind of built in on how you were kind of going to deliver or what you were going to say about those products, along with the football knowledge that I brought. It was very, you know, dumbed down as far as, you know, big picture stuff, big time, big name players, but it was excellent practice. But yeah, it was unnerving. Now it was definitely something, you know, they got a lot of, have a big audience that they have in front of them. So it was definitely good. But I'll tell you, man, once I started doing it, it was great practice for me. It made it a lot easier doing some of the other things that I was doing.
Joined by Anthony Beck. Follow him on Twitter at @Anthony_Beck. All right, AB, going to be a coach, man. How did this even happen? How long has this been on your radar to be a head coach?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when I was done playing the game, actually when I was playing the game, you know, my last 5 years, I was brought into organizations to basically kind of galvanize a tight end room and bring some of those leadership qualities. It's something I've always been passionate about. It. I've done multiple things over the last 11 years since I've been retired. I've worked with some of the top college tight ends at multiple places, IMG Academy, draft prep. I've coached in the NFLPA Collegiate All-Star Game the last 7 years with multiple head coaching staffs. And I've also coached in the AAF, the Spring League, that was in 2019 under Coach Martz. He really took me under his wing. I mean, he pushed me to get out of the media, to be quite honest with you, and say, you should be a coach. You need to be a coach. And I just drew a lot from him as far as just the kind of day-to-day thing. I just felt like it was something that was kind of up my alley. You know, teaching the game, understanding the game, those things are always have come easy to me. But actually delivering it to people, being a CEO of people, those are some qualities that I really liked. I've actually turned down multiple opportunities, NFL and the collegiate level, just because it wasn't the right time for me. I have a son that just finished high school. He's in college now. He's playing ball at Iowa State. My daughter's getting ready to graduate next year. So it kind of worked out well. And, you know, being a part of that spring league in the AAF, I just really was drawn to the fact that there was a lot of players out there that needed and were looking for opportunities to develop. And they soaked in all the information. I had three of my tight ends get invited to the training camps that summer. So it was very rewarding to see some of these young players get those opportunities, soak in that knowledge, and you see the success that they had. So when the XFL was going on, I did have an opportunity to actually do the 2.0 version, not as a head coach, but it didn't work out at the time. And once that fell through and The Rock and Danny Garcia and Redbird Capital kind of purchased the XFL through bankruptcy, I think this was probably 20, 22 months ago, I began basically saying to myself, I wanted to do this. And I started to make the contacts, the connections, prepare myself for the opportunity. So it's very hard to get in front of the right people to deliver and sell something. And once you do, you actually have to follow through and sell your vision. And I did. And they were very in line of what I was doing, you know. And there's a lot of other things, obviously, in my career that have, you know, being a 12-year player, having some coaching experience, working in the media, I think that was something that was, you know, very attractive to them. And also, you know, the last 7-8 years I've been working with the NFL, helping transition players from their end of their career into retirement with programs that have been developed for these guys to help them kind of get on and move on with their life and get into some of those things. And again, that's all kind of the pieces that were there that kind of got me to this point. And here we are. So I'm excited about it. Showcases going on. We're evaluating players, getting my staff together, and just, you know, excited and humbled about the opportunity XFL has given me.
So I'm The Rock, or I'm Danny Garcia, and I've got Anthony Beck sitting in front of me. I ask him this question. Give me your elevator pitch. What is your vision for being a head coach? How are you going to run one of these franchises?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been around some really great coaches. I've been around some coaches that, quite frankly, maybe weren't as good, that, you know, you learn everything from each in particular person that you've been around. You know, for me personally, I think a couple things that, you know, will stand as, like, I'm going to get to know and understand all my players, build a relationship, not being a player's coach, a buddy, but, you know, you have to understand the people that are working for you. And I think it's very important to grow that trust factor with each and every individual, understand that every individual is different. You know, some players, you know, the players in this era are much different than the players when I played, and obviously beyond, is, you know, everybody's kind of motivated by different things. And if I can get to know a little bit about each guy and they can form that trust with me, you know, the goal ultimately for me is to get these guys to run through a wall for me. And that's what I want to do. I want to be honest with them. Everybody's going to know where they stand. I'm going to have a great staff. I'm just excited to bring some of the names. Obviously, Bruce Gradkowski, my OC, and Donnie Abraham, my DC, are superior, players that played in the league. They're superior at what they do. They're very prepared. And they're going to gravitate to a lot of these players, and these players are going to like what they hear from these guys. And, of course, I'm excited about some of the other staff that I'll be announcing later on, more towards the September and into the fall. But, listen, having a regimen, having something that guys can buy into, having great teachers around these players want to learn, and they all come from different facets. Some, maybe the mental capacity is a little, you know, lighter than some of the others that have made it. They have to get groomed in some of the things that they're doing from a technique standpoint. Or maybe they just didn't get the reps. You know, these guys get invited to camps and they go different places. They just didn't get a chance because it was a numbers thing. All those opportunities are going to be given to these players, and then I'm going to give it to them. It's an open book for me. They get a fair shot, and as we assess these players that are kind of on the streets now, looking for an opportunity, and of course these guys that are going to be in training camp that get released from preseason, We're going to try to get the best players available and put them in front of the and put them around some of the best coaches, best resources, and quite frankly, the best spring league that's going to be starting up here February 2023.
Just a couple more minutes with Anthony Beck. Anthony, that's my biggest question right now, and I guess it's a two-part question. What's the schedule? What's the calendar for this? Because you've got to stock your roster, and then you do have to go to training camp. When will that process begin?
Yep. So, again, a bulk of our players, obviously, we're going to have those 20, 21 players that do not make the practice squad and teams from preseason. You're talking about, you know, 600-plus players. You have you know, we just went to D.C. and down at IMG Bradenton, Florida, and looked at about 250 players at each of those locations, guys that have played ball somewhere, somehow, that still want to, you know, fulfill their dreams. You know, we'll be able to kind of scrum through that list of guys. We saw some very talented players that I think, you know, are very worthy of playing in our league. And then, of course, as we get through the fall, it'll be the evaluation process, you know. We'll have our players kind of in that pool that we'll start studying and pick the ones that we like. As we get to November, we'll have our draft. And of course, to kick off January, that's when training camp will start, and we'll go 5 weeks. So, you know, it's not a lot of time, but we do have more time than some of the other spring leagues that have come up as far as getting ourselves prepared and, ready to rock and roll here for the week, for kickoff in February.
And how will the on-field product reflect the NFL? Will there be any subtle changes to punt returns, so on and so forth?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll start, our foundation will be NFL rules. And, of course, we'll, you know, having that relationship with the NFL, part of that is innovations and vision moving forward for the game. So we're going to try some different things. We're in the process now talking about, you know, special teams, overtime, point after touchdowns, you know, how those things can be tweaked a bit so that it's exciting for the fan base. The timing as far as the play clock and how we can make games move at a more efficient pace. The basis will be NFL rules, but we will have our tweaks to try to make that game a little bit more exciting if we can and more high-powered. I think we've seen those changes in other leagues, and the XFL, the previous XFL, had some really good ideas that they implemented. So, you know, we'll continue to talk about those things. We're all of us as head coaches and of course, ops, we're getting together, put our heads together to find the best way to do that. And, you know, once our season kicks off in February, we feel like we'll have an exceptional product, a fun product, an exciting product we can deliver to the fan base.
Just to be clear, no, he hate me, right? Nothing like that.
No, he hate me. I mean, I guess what? He's probably 45 years old at this point. So him in particular won't be back. But, you know, we're going to have – listen, you got to have a team that has character and is full of character. So I think it's going to be a nice blend. You know, that obviously for me, that's my job to find the best players that not only can, you know, develop, can bring a good brand of football to the field, but engage with the fan base. I mean, and that's what I'll bring too. I'm not going to be a guy that's kind of be – you know, hiding in the office, not, you know, delivering or getting with the community. And I want to be a part of what the fans are all about. They're important to this league. They're important for our team. And whatever city I'm allocated to, and when those announcements get made, I'm fired up to be a part of the fan base and the community around it.
Anthony, I want to congratulate you on this, man. I know this is this could be the start of something really good for you. I guess act three for you then. You go from player to media. Yeah. To coaching, I mean, this could be, you know, the next 20 years for you if this works out.
Well, you know, look, I think for me, everybody's like, well, what's the big picture? You know, what do you want to accomplish here? I have my long-term goal is the goal at hand, and I want to be the best XFL head coach I can possibly be. I want to surround myself with great people that want to work for me, that want to be a part of what my vision is, and I want to make sure that my players have the best possible opportunity to get better, to improve, so that they can reach their goals, whatever it may be. If I can get every young player to play in the NFL, if that's their goal, then so be it. That's what I'll do, and I'll go find better players to replace them. But there are good players out there that just don't have the opportunity to showcase themselves. College didn't give them an opportunity. They got lost in the shuffle. They were at training camp, the numbers game. Or they just need to be developed more. And I think that's the best part about it that's so intriguing for me. And I really think the XFL can be a league that can be long-term. And they have great vision, great ownership. And that really is what drove me to be so driven to be a part of it.
And when do we find out your location?
Yeah, so, you know, right now the league is just working on logistics of everything, making sure that everything's in line. They're looking to make announcements here in the summer. So, listen, I think that they're doing a good job of sporadically putting out partnerships, people that are involved, and, of course, the cities, the teams, the logos, all that stuff's going to come in due time. And I think it's just kind of a great way to build up the league and keep it kind of a buzz and a talk about, even for the people that are disappointed and they want to hear the cities and the teams now. They're in tuned and they're excited about it as well. So I can't wait for that to happen. It will happen here soon this summer, and excited to again get with that fan base and really start delivering what our team can bring to the table.
He's Anthony Beck, XFL coach. I like the sound of that. You can follow him on Twitter at @Anthony_Beck. Big guy, appreciate your time. Here's my advice: visor sweater vest.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to have my choice of some really cool attire. The number one thing is hitting the stationary bike, making sure myself is in shape. I know that when you're in front of the camera, it's 10 or 15 extra pounds, so I got to make sure I'm below that so I look even better when I'm in front of it.
Hey, no makeup now.
No makeup. Yeah, that's even better, too. I like that, so I can go out there. Now I'll have some hair product. That's always been important to me, even as a player. But other than that, man, yeah, we'll be ready to go. We're fired up about it, and can't wait for the season to start.
All right, bro. I wish you luck, man. Appreciate you hopping on.
You got it. Be well.
All righty, man. That's Anthony Beck. Follow him on Twitter at @Anthony_Beck.